EXO. And it's a different artist and a different song, but it's very relevant. They talk about EXO. How are you lot doing? So, I've been keeping an eye from afar at the EXO shenanigans, and I thought let's actually have an episode where we discuss who these legendary, iconic men are and what are we to expect from 2025. So BTS are why I got into K-pop, but EXO are the reason why I stayed, because I discovered the R&B hits, the vocals, the what's his name, the Teddy Riley productions, and all these legendary R&B and hip-hop producers, no, mostly R&B producers from back in the day, repurposing the music to and making new music for this group. So Call Me Baby, for example. And then you also have What If, which was with Harvey Mason Jr., who produced Tyrese, How You Gonna Act Like That, hence why the beat is pretty much the same. I was eating it up because, whoa, and that's how I started to become SM trash. They are, yes, an SM group, hence why they have such a large focus on vocals, and great music made by a lot of black producers. So everything was hitting the spot for me. So I loved EXO, loved the dancing as well, like the music videos, and they have experimental songs like Tempo, which has like a whole, it's just like a dance song kind of, but it has this a cappella breakdown, which is so iconic. Like, who is doing that these days? No one, because no one's singing. But also, no one would care. Let me actually segue for a second. We all complain about no one is singing these days. No one has the vocals these days. The main vocals these days are not even main vocals. But you do realize, for the most part, the younger generation don't care. Like, there's a reason why, and it's sad because what came first? The public doesn't care, so the label doesn't do it, or the label stopped caring, so the public stopped caring. I don't know. I feel like it's the latter, because they dictate what we enjoy. So if you maintain a particular standard, I'm sure the standard will stay that way. But then again, New Jeans blew up by changing the industry, and then they became the standard for kind of like laid back dreamy vocals and whatever. So everyone else followed. So, and the public loved that. So maybe the public does dictate the taste of the future, and the labels follow. So, yes. So, I would say, as much as we all want big vocalists to come back and loads of vibrato and bah and all those moments, realistically, it's not going to happen because the public also doesn't want it. And young people who are on TikTok, what they prefer, if you speak to a 16-year-old now, do they really care about vocals the same way? Yeah, there'll be some exceptions to the rules who grew up appreciating that music. But for the most part, if it sounds good, it sounds good. Who cares if they're big belters? Like, not everyone wants a Whitney or Mariah anymore. So, except SM, they still try to maintain those standards. And JYP, because NMIX are fucking singing. Woo, Jesus. Anyway, EXO started as 12 members. I should have gotten the history up. But it feels like 12 feels like the right number to me. 12 or 11, maybe even 13. I'm not sure. Anyway, they had Chinese members and Korean members, and their first initial debut was a split of like XOC and XOK, so China and Korea, and eventually kind of ended up merging into becoming one group. And the Chinese members were only three, Lay, Luhan, Chris, and Tao, four. So it wasn't really like an equal split, you could say, but some of the Korean members would be on the Chinese. Anyway, they were fine for the first 3 years, and then 2014, actually, first 2 years, goddamn, they didn't get that far in until the first lawsuit. Big lawsuit, Chinese members, one or two of them. I'm not going to get into that. I'm just giving you a brief overview. They were obviously talking about mistreatment and the contracts, blah, blah, blah. It was a big thing. And it took years to resolve, typically. Anyway, we ended up going down to 10 members. And then Tao was the last Chinese member too. He had like an injury, and he actually didn't want to leave at that time. But he was just being physically, he just couldn't do the job. and they were kind of punishing him for it, it felt like, and they didn't really have his needs as a priority, and his dad was really upset about it, and it was a whole big thing, and eventually he left, so then we're down to 9, and Lei is the last Chinese member that is still, I guess, on and off with EXO. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not, but mostly he's there. So now it's been 9 members since, I guess, 2015, Tao was in Call Me Baby. So 2016, I would say, something like that. I'm sorry, I should have gotten some of this together, but I didn't actually realize I was going to talk about that part, although it makes sense. Anyway, it's been 9 members since then. And then obviously they blew up and became even bigger by 2018, 2017 was their prime. They had hits, they were winning Artists of the Year. And just as they were sort of, then from 2019 onwards, it kind of felt like BTS took over and were winning all the big Artists of the Year awards, blah, blah, blah. Cool. Now, enlistment starts in 2020. I'm guessing the first member started to enlist. And as of now, just to skip things forward so we can get to the fucking juicy bit, all the members have finished their military enlistment. However, in the midst of all this, oh my God, this started in 2023. My God. So in June 2023, CBX, which is Chen, Baekhyun, and Shumin. Chen and Baekhyun are two of the most strongest vocalists in the group, along with D.O. So they make EXO sound amongst all the members. And Shumin is probably like up there as well in terms of vocals. And he's a great dancer too. So CBX, because they've always been a separate entity, they've always been their subunit as well within SM. They sent notices to SM about terminating their exclusive contract, citing issues with unfair contract terms and a lack of transparency concerning revenue and settlement data. So that's when the legal dispute pretty much started, although it wasn't an official lawsuit yet. And I do find that interesting because it's like, why do things always have to get to a lawsuit? And I blame men, once again, the male ego. These men know they are exploiting idols who want to live their dreams and be successful, and they put in the hard work, they train, they sing, they dance, they do all these things. All they want is a fair share of their money and a fair share of their split of the profit, and also transparency of where the money is going and how it's, where it's coming from, what, you know, and everything. Just let me understand how my money is working. So, but they instead prefer to let things linger and then go to lawsuits and torture people and try to bully them. And it's so disgusting. And I think that's also the split between creative people and corporate people. Every artist, I remember watching Mariah interviews for back in the day, she'd always say, oh, the suits, they don't get it. Because the creative is a creative. We want to be free. We want to express ourselves. We want to enjoy. We want to just have fairness and just do our jobs. But then you have the corporate suits coming in thinking about profit and thinking about expansion and thinking about capitalism. And in some ways, of course, you need both. You need a bit of both because you need some structure and strategy to make the best out of your creative works. But then if there's no transparency and you've been exploiting me, and they also have loopholes where their contracts automatically renew as an extension, and it kind of ends up becoming like an infinity contract, which is something that their seniors, TVXQ, also had a lawsuit about with EXO, where they ended up having to split a group with 5 members, which now has 2 remaining members in SM since 2012 or whatever, and the other 3 went their separate ways and had in the whole, they've been banned on Korean TV since, and now are only just about starting to make appearances, with Jaejoong being the first one. So it's wild that they can't just go, sure, you're right, sorry. And maybe that's me being very naive in how the business of it works. And maybe if you start doing that, you're opening yourself up to more issues and more people looking to what you've done here. Maybe you have to pay people back, or maybe you get sued by someone else because now we've seen that you did it to so-and-so. I'm not going to look at my contract and be like, hold up, do you guys owe me money? So I understand that as well. But they're still in the right. So of course, they're going to also stand up for themselves because they also have money now. And it bodes well, I think, for them to maintain a good relationship with the artist, because I'm sure that affects the stock market, their stock. And I'm sure that will also affect how their shareholders will be like, you don't need to resolve this because our stocks are going down. Because, you know, these ones and zeros we call money, it's so fickle, and the stock market is so fickle. A company announces a group is having a comeback, their stocks go up. Like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Why does that work? So I'm pretty sure having a legal dispute with some of your biggest artists doesn't look good for the company, and I'm sure they want to resolve it, but you would think that, and yet here we are. Then in last year in June, SM filed a civil lawsuit against CBX to demand the fulfillment of contract terms, including the 10% royalty share from individual activities. And that's also crazy. That's crazy. So when I'm doing individual activities, you also want 10% from that. So it's not enough that you exploit me from my group activities. You also want to take away my individual royalties. Like, the greed knows no bounds. So now in 2025, they let us know they're going to start mediation. And mediation is obviously the step prior to getting to a lawsuit where you kind of want to sit at a table and you have an adjudicator. I'm sorry if you studied law and I'm just chatting shit, but that feels right. By someone like that, it's a sort of mediator. It's not someone, I think sometimes judges do it though. But anyway, they kind of sit there with both parties and try to come to an agreement without having to go to court. The first mediation was scheduled in September. It didn't go well. Both sides, no bueno. The second mediation was last week, October 2nd. Also didn't go well. Now, let me tell you the terms of what they want. And on top of that, let me add, SM has teased us a few months ago with saying EXO's coming back. They uploaded this, what was it? I think it was like a poster or a video. And it said, when we become true one, a new world awakens. And it's December 2025. So everyone's like, wait, who is a part of this? Because we don't know. Because your vocalists are over there. Dio can come back, but Dio cannot be carrying the vocals on his own. Like, how does this, you need CBX to come back. But there's no transparency of how many people are part of this comeback. And also, a December comeback feels seasonal. Is this a real comeback? Is this an album? Is this a single? What is it? So these are the terms, which I find SM is messy to do that, because it feels like they are trying to guilt trip the members to just accept whatever, because they've now set up this expectation that the group is coming back. And then if the group didn't come back, blame CBX because they didn't want to negotiate with us. It feels a little bit like that. So the first mediation was over their dispute sum of 600 million Korean won, which is about £330,000. I'm not sure what that money is covering, but, you know, it was enough for them to bring it up. And from CBX's side, this is what they're asking for or claiming. Firstly, fair revenue distribution slash reduced deductions. So SM is allegedly demanding 10% of the revenue, like we said, from CBS's solo, group, and advertisement activities under their separate company. CBX argue this is too high and was not part of the original written contracts, which I get. But to be honest, for me, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I know it's not my money, but 10% seems okay. But I understand why, because also they're also getting a percentage taken away from the other side as well, from the other company. Because why do you have your hand in a pot that's not yours? I'm not in SM. These are not SM activities. So I do understand that, but 10% doesn't feel crazy to me. But I'm guessing they want like 5%. They claim SM had earlier agreed verbally or in drafts to lower or different rates. For example, small distribution fees, but then change the terms. Greedy. Then transparency, like I said. So CBS has repeatedly requested copies of the settlement data slash accounting for their past earnings, expenses, and revenue. which is supposedly a part of renewal discussions. That's so interesting. I didn't know that. They claim SM was not given, has not given these in full or in a timely manner. So this includes contracts, renewal letters, and details of how much SM took as fees and how revenue was split. And I think that's very reasonable. I would like to know that too. And then contract renewal terms and duration. So when renewing their contracts in late 2022, CBXA SM attempted to extend the contract by an additional 5 years, making some contracts very lengthy, which is about 17 to 18 years in total, which is exactly what TVXQ went to court for. Because why am I in a contract for 18 years? That's crazy. Especially knowing how, apparently I'm going through puberty, especially knowing how SM doesn't promote their own artist, and I don't say promote in that way, but they don't push them beyond the safety of the Korean market or maybe SEA, and they try to, apparently, was it Taemin talking about this, how he didn't know how big he was outside of the UK, or someone hinted at this, and how they make you feel as though you're not wanted internationally and you're not that big, which is really weirdly abusive in a way. So a lot of these SM artists have no idea how successful they are, because SM will either book small concert venues for them or they won't even book international tours for them. Taemin left and he's toured in America, he's toured in the UK, he's done everything with his new company, and he's gotten to see that, oh my God, I've got fans outside of Korea. So I do understand why you wouldn't want to be stuck in 18 years of that, and not knowing as well the other internal politics that happen. SM is a massive company, and yes, they do have divisions now, but you don't know if you're being really prioritized or looked after and growing as an artist, because they have so many artists to look after. So yeah, that whole loophole with the contract, I totally get it. And I think that it's really cheeky of them to do that, especially knowing they've been sued about that before. Then they requested changes in contract terms, but SM has refused. Crazy. Then, once again, coercive renewals and pressure. So CBX contend SM pressured them to sign these renewals under conditions such as being in the military and being told that if they didn't sign, it would negatively affect other EXO members or group activities. Oh my God. That is nasty. That is so many. Oh. That's so fucked up. They assert that refusal to sign might have led to problems for the whole group, which they felt was use of force agreement. Wow. Oh, that's so sad, you know. Like, it's so... These corporate suits take away so much of the joy from creatives who just want to make music, who just want to sing, who just want to do these things. Like, why add these hurdles and these nasty traditions of mistreatment? For what exactly? It's extra hassle for you guys as well. Just do right by your artists. It's that simple. Then IP usage and individual activity rights. They claim that SM is demanding to take revenue from individual activities, which, you know, concerts, advertisement, even when these are done under the private entity NINB 100. CBX argue this isn't fair if the contract clearly didn't stipulate that. Also, CBX says the contract does not explicitly mandate certain IP or trademark usage fees or fees for group branding when they do solo work. So to balance this out, here are what SM claims slash what is under dispute. SM says that the 10% revenue was part of early agreements and is consistent with precedent from other EXO contract arbitrations. That's it. It's an arbitrator. That's the person, I think. SM contends that CBX are trying to invalidate or reduce their contractual obligations while still benefiting from the group slash show opportunities. SM says they have been operating in compliance with KFTC, Korean Fair Trade Commission, rules regarding contract duration. That's a fucking lie. And that the renewal was negotiated, albeit CBX claims limited changes were accepted. So that's the basic gist of what's happening on both sides. And it's so sad to really know the depth of them using the emotional blackmail of, if you don't sign we're going to ruin it for the other members of the whole group, and what they can do also for group dynamics. Because now, and also someone else has managed to accept those terms. So let's say, for example, we know D.O. is in another company. He's probably accepted the terms that SM have done. So now SM will use that as, well, he accepted those deals, so you lot should accept this 10% split as well, and etc. And which is not fair. But everyone also has their individual things. Not everyone wants to fight. And with CBX, it helps that there's three of them to fight. But if you're on your own, you might just cave, especially if they're using the other group members as a sort of a carrot to dangle in front of you to just chase or to guilt trip you, which is just so nasty. So that's where we're at. The third mediation has not, we don't have a date for that yet, and this might go into court, and we know if that's going to court, they are absolutely not going to be part of any any sort of comeback this year. I will be mind blown if that happens, because we know how SM are. So that's where things stand. I will do another episode about this if we do get an update, but I don't know if it fit as a full episode since I've already covered some of the backstory stuff here. But I hope, I don't know, man, it's hard to have faith, because you can see it with other groups who have gone through this. It's so rare for things to just work out, because like I said, these companies are greedy, and there's that male ego of, how dare you try to challenge us, even though they know deep down they're in the wrong, but they will stand by it. But I would hope in something happens and there's some sort of mediation and some sort of agreement, because I'm sure CBX, I think the guilt will work. Them guilting them into settling just to make sure the fans aren't disappointed, I think it's going to force them to acquiesce on some of their conditions, not all of them. And that's only natural, which is such a shame. But we'll see. Hopefully by the end of this year, maybe by next month, we'll know more. And especially we'll know if they're going to court or not. But yeah, that's the story of CBX versus SM for now. And I'll keep you all updated. Thanks for listening. Bye.